Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Newgen Software Q2 FY26 earnings call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask a question after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Aditi Patil. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Saisha. Good evening and welcome to the Q2 FY26 earnings call of Newgen Software Technologies. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Newgen. We have with us today Mr. T.S. Varadarajan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ravinder Jeet, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Tarun Nandwani, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Arun Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Deepti Mehra Chugh, Head Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Ms. Deepti for further proceedings. Thank you, and over to you, Deepti.
Thank you, Aditi. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY26 results of the company. Before we move on to the discussion, let me highlight that this call may contain certain forward-looking statements concerning Newgen's future business prospects and profitability, which are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially vary from the forward-looking statements. Past performance may not be indicative of future performance. The company does not undertake to make any announcements in case any of these forward-looking statements become materially incorrect in future, or update any forward-looking statements made from time to time by or on behalf of the company. For further details, you may please refer to the investor relations section of our website. I will now hand over to Mr. Varadarajan for presentation of results, which will be followed by a Q&A by the management.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for joining us today for the Q2 FY26 earnings call. I am pleased to report a strong quarter, reflecting our continued focus on product innovation and customer success. Our growth momentum has been restored in Q2. This quarter, we have achieved revenues of ₹401 crores, marking an 11% YoY growth. Our performance was driven by robust demand across the region, especially in new and mature geographies, and increased adoption of our digital solutions. Our subscription revenue reached ₹126 crores, witnessing a strong growth of 20% YoY. During the quarter, we made 15 new customer logo additions. We are happy to witness new territories opening up and large deal breakthroughs in metro markets, which is expected to help us in further scaling up in these geographies. US and APAC regions witnessed strong growth of 22% each during the quarter. India region witnessed a growth of 7% and EMEA by 3%. We are working on expanding wider in India and Middle East markets. Increasing focus on Make in India initiative is expected to give us advantage vis-a-vis international players in the Indian market. Further, we are deepening our presence in the banking vertical and working on building customer journeys in private enterprise. Moreover, we have also witnessed early success in the insurance part segment across geographies. Our key wins in Q2 include: we won a project of approximately £3 million from a major life and pension consolidator in the UK market to provide an enterprise content management and customer communication management platform. Newgen signed a 5-year contract worth of €4.2 million with a major retail group with diverse portfolio of food and non-food segments in Europe for a modernized, cloud-based enterprise record management platform. We secured a 5-year contract valued at $5.6 million from a Ghana-based conglomerate for implementing a loan management system. The company also entered a 2-year USD $1.6 million deal with the bank in America's region for supply, installation, and implementation of the Newgen Enterprise Content Management System platform. We signed a 3-year agreement valued at approximately $2.6 million with a leading US healthcare company for annual software subscription, cloud hosting services, and implementation. Medium was awarded a 5-year 21.24 crore deal by a general insurance company in India for policy administration system. We were awarded a multi-year 8.9 crore deal for licenses of BPM platform and its implementation for the SAN 2.0 initiative in India. Coming to our product, we are working on creating viable use cases in AI through significant investments in AI-driven products and solutions. By leveraging AI, we can help boost productivity, decision-making, quality, and employee engagement with enterprise systems. During the quarter, we also launched a new Gen developer community and received an overwhelming response with over 500 registrations on day one. During the quarter, the company also registered as a strong performer in the Forrester Wave Digital Process Automation Software in Q3 2025. We have also been recognized in Forrester's Insurance Agency Management Systems landscape. We have also been recognized as a representative vendor in Gartner Market Guide for Commercial Banking Cash Management and as a sample vendor in Gartner's High Cycle for Bank Lending 2025. We are happy to say that we have been selected in the Forbes Asia Best under a billion issue published in August 2025 for the second time in a row. Our profit after tax for the quarter was at 82 crores and net margins were at 20.4%. We are working on various steps of enhancement of productivity of our workforce through automation and AI. We continue to prudently invest in R&D and sales and marketing initiatives. We have invested 9% of our revenues on R&D initiatives and around 21% of our revenues on the various sales and marketing activities. On the balance sheet front, we witnessed robust cash flow generation with our net cash generated from the operating margin activities at rupees 90 crores during the 6-month period. Our net trade receivables were 521 crores as of 30th September 2025, which resulted in net DSO of 124 days. This quarter has been a testament to our resilience and agility. Despite evolving market dynamics, we have delivered strong financial performance, expanded our global footprint, and deepened client relationships across key verticals. Our strategic wins in US, APAC, and EMEA regions underscore the relevance of our solution and the trust our clients place in us. Our funnel continues to be healthy and strong, and we see improvements in quarter closures, especially in new and mature markets. We are hopefully continuing the momentum in the second half of the year as well. Thank you very much. We are now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ruchi Mukhija from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Many congratulations to the management on wonderful quarter and excellent delivery. And could you help us understand, last quarter we commented that there has been some delay and change in the large deal momentum. How that has been during the quarter? We heard a couple of large deals, but most of them are from double geography, Europe, US. So how the situation in India and India stands up, if you could comment, especially regarding the last piece.
Thank you, and thanks for the conversation on the results. I think what we had indicated at the end of Q1, that while the business momentum and deal win momentum was strong, typically there was a significant delay on large deal closure, especially in territories like India and India. I think the large part of the challenge still remains. While we are closing a lot of deals, and the India large license deals are still fewer compared to last year. So we have done a good significant around 70 crore of license this year out of these 50% pounds come from India and UAE. Most of the large wins this quarter have been also from network markets. So their revenue recognition is quite delayed. So they are not really factored in the revenue. While the deals come from India and maybe we are able to realize because they are licensed revenue. So I would say that partly the challenge has not completely been resolved. But as I said that, you know, we are focusing on more deal velocity, organically expanding our use cases and also trying to get into newer verticals and using AI to drive some of that momentum. We should be able to also weather these tough times and still register growth. And that's where we are right now.
This quarter, even the profitability was surprising. Is it fair to associate the better profitability to the growth from the mature or the developed market, which comes with a better margin profile? And if we see similar growth mix across geography to continue, the margin, the upward bias to margin should hold on, is that right interpretation?
Yeah, because you know, as you previously mentioned, that any our costs are typically very similar at the beginning of the year. This year, I think since the market momentum was not too strong, we were slightly more cautious about spending, and some of the costs also about manpower expansion were not needed because the service deliveries are getting optimized, and there were also advantages of some of the coming from the AI. So the manpower additions were much muted, and the better margins due to the distribution of revenue coming from geos is an organic thing. We clearly understand as the subscription revenue becomes larger part of the revenue and the mature market sales, there is no better realization for the same deal. We should be able to further expand market margins. But you know, margins are also a function of how aggressive we want to invest. So I think our indication of we can do something between around net of 20% of margin will continue. And the business organically as it grows does expand margins and thus we have an ability to deliver higher margins, but we would prefer to invest that in growth and accelerate the growth.
Okay. And the last question, this quarter we saw a significant jump in other expenses. Could you add more color to how these expenses got restructured in the quarter?
I'm not very sure because significantly we didn't know. I think as I remember there is one sale of hardware which has an impact of roughly around 67 crores, which could be maybe that is the case, or I don't think there is some consultant fee which came on this quarter, but they're not very different from what we have been doing in previous quarters. So but I think this season can be more detailed about you can exactly tell us more details about. Nothing.
I was trying to correlate. Have we increased marketing events and even our expectation that the larger geographies?
Not substantial. Right. Okay. Not that. I think next couple of quarters we will start again something increasing them, but nothing significant. I think there will be more incremental as the business.
Okay. Now, got it. Thank you for patiently answering and all the best for that.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Aditi Patel from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the order book growth. Can you give some qualitative sense on how our order book has grown in H1?
Aditi, thank you. Aditi, you know, last year we said that, you know, the order book at the end of the year is a better reflection. Right now, in the middle of the year, it is looking quite strong. I think the numbers are above 20% on the order book growth. In fact, you know, mid of 20 or even higher than that. But I would, you know, take that data in the context of looking at, because some of the order flow between H1 and H2 can be also to do with where the ATS has got removed, where the subscription got removed. But it is, you know, surely better than last year, clearly for the same period, by a significant number. And I do think over next few quarters, that should reflect in the conversion of that business. But I would say the order book numbers at the end of the year are a better indicator than in between at the quarter level or at the half level.
Okay, got it. And also last quarter, towards the end of the quarter, we had signed a couple of large deals. So did they get converted to a license revenue in Q2? Because we see a QOQ strong jump in a license revenue.
No, not really. So what happens in any license deal, whenever quarter it is closed and it is billed and revenue is realized. So I don't think the orders of last quarter of license would have affected. These are typically all the orders which would have been closed this quarter. You could have some amount of service delivery revenue or some coming from those orders. But generally, slightly all orders take a bit of lead time. Beyond license revenue, they all take slightly at least a quarter or sometimes 2 quarters to ramp up and start execution and some revenue started coming. So I would say that most of the non-license revenues from Q1 and Q2 orders are left to be realized. They are not in the book.
Okay. Okay. And my last question would be on, so globally, we have seen last software companies seeing strong growth in their AI features. What are our plans on growing AI-based product revenues and what traction have we seen so far? And also you mentioned about AI-based products to be helping lower employee costs or the increase in the employee cost is lower. So can you share how our employee headcount has grown on YoY basis?
Yeah, this is two parts of this question. First of all, you know, for global companies, specifically most of the conversation, at least in the context of India, is around service companies. And their challenges, their problems and opportunities are very, very different than ours. We have to, as a product company, generally we have to pre-invest in AI to be relevant in our product. So most of our use cases are AI-led and AI-delivered. So product capabilities are getting enhanced, so they've been done for the last 3 years. We have also clearly have GTMs around 5 different AI product areas, like credit decisioning, the trade document, or IDP-based cases, or there are cases in insurance. These are our GTMs which are trying to drive right here, and we've got some successes in Q1 as well, and some in Q2. So I think our strategy is still about using, leveraging interest in AI to transform these cases and enhance the digitalization of businesses. And that is where our product fit in. We are not into looking at overall AI demand and the servicing that demand, because I only service the demand to my product and my use case. So I think we are hopeful that this, over a period of time, product companies end up being net benefiters of any large digital movement. And but we'll have to fight for the case, because again, in that case, I have to compete against the rest of the product company, not against the service of corporate. So, for the AI-led productivity, I think clearly, with the generative AI, is one of the biggest advantages of use cases what they've deployed in the whole corporate engineering and product development. And I think, so far the data is that people can expect between 20-30% productivity once they deploy all the tools, because it's time to do that. So we have taken an intermediate target and different targets to make sure that we optimize, and there are some pockets of zones where AI is being deployed. So clearly, you know, I think in next 2 to 3 years, we think for the same revenue, we should be able to lower our service delivery, execution and product cost by 20-30%. This some of them will get also translated to the client. We have not added manpower compared to last year. In fact, we are roughly around 100 people less than the last year, right now.
So this is the answer. Yes, that answers my question. Thank you for patiently answering.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dollar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on very strong execution. Basically, my question. Hello.
Hello, Rahul. I can hear you.
Yeah, hi. So I was asking about the deal win data. If we just go by the calendar period during this quarter that we have announced, the wins look silly. Hello, I can hear some background.
Rahul, we can hear you clearly. We can go ahead. No,
yes, I was saying that from a signing perspective, it's meaningfully higher, even if I have to compare about whatever we have announced in the previous fiscal overall basis. So I want to understand this from your perspective, from a demand confidence point of view, because I think I heard that you mentioned somewhere that the challenges still exist. So how we are comparing these two elements and how we are seeing market in general?
Oh, thank you for the question. So absolutely, I think we had a significant quarter of new deal wins, and one of the things you can understand, realize this time a lot of deals were outside India, there were more in mature markets. We had deals coming from Australia, UK, and some from US. And compared to other quarters, these are significantly more for the same period. Now these deal wins are generally, most of them are subscription deals. So they don't have any immediate effect on the revenue for that quarter. While previously our deal acceleration was happening in markets like India and Middle East, which had upfront license revenue realization. So while I said that we have overall business momentum is looking good, our products are having more relevance, we are gaining more, and that this moment, what is missing, the India and Middle East markets, the large license deals are still lesser compared to the last year, or almost same as last year. While we generally have an expectation that we should grow at least 30% in license revenue in these markets. So that is the challenge, and the challenge is also in the area where there are pretty larger deals getting signed, where there is a slight amount of delay, or you know, there is not faster decision making. So both the realities are true. Our deal momentums are great, we are winning more and more deals in local markets, but the other part of that in India and the East, our license sales are not as per the expectation we want. We want to accelerate that work on next quarter.
Sure. Now one more question, you know, so basically what I'm trying to infer is that we might see a better traction in SaaS kind of a deal and SaaS kind of a segment momentum, while license of course will grow, but given the mix, SaaS could see a better traction. We also observed that there were a couple of deals that came from the SI channel, and they were from a size perspective also relatively more compared to what we typically announce. So any color in terms of how you are seeing this channel driving momentum to us, and the deal value that we announced, do the SI include some part of their revenue also as a subset of this deal value, or this is just the value that gets into our books and there is no pass-through element for SI in this deal?
I'll handle the second part first. I think all our deal deals are net to user. There is no any other component of SI or anything. So SI may have a different order or maybe having a similar order. So we have nothing to do with this. This is an order which is placed by customer or through SI solution for the user value. So that is around the size of the deal. So, you know, in terms of better traction on SaaS, it's a function of where we are selling. For us, typically all sales outside India and Middle East and some in APAC are in SaaS model. So if we have a higher aspiration of growth and order book in those markets, it will lead to better SaaS revenues in that. So translation from deals to revenue will take few quarters at least, because you know initially there's not upfront loaded. They will be, you know, proportionately realized over 12 months and then they will go over a few years. So some of the momentum which comes into the business, which comes from the SaaS side, it slightly lags into revenue. So that way, yes, it is better because it is more even. It increases the subscription and the annuity side of the business, which is more predictable. But also has a challenge that it does not give you immediate returns in that quarter. It does not give you the adequate. So for us, we have to focus on license to look at our quarterly P&L. And so India and Middle East markets, since we have a more habitual to purchase and licenses, it works in our favor. And all other markets, subscriptions are 90% of the cases. But also some are licenses, but I think that is the case. Rahul, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And just one last follow-up on that. In light of, you know, if you think the mix of license versus SaaS might change in favor of SaaS, let's assume that is how the, you know, the Western market would behave for us. So in that light, the 20% revenue alignment that we aim for, and the margin that we have delivered last year, let's say 25.3% EBITDA margin, and we have done similar in Q2. So you see that number, these numbers should also be seen in a different lens. If that makes changes, or it's too early to comment on that.
So now, you know, we have always maintained that this issue of moderating our growth targets on the account of subscription is a trap. Sometimes if you get into that, then there's a habit of lower growth. So we don't want to do that. We are clearly saying that whatever the subscription business, though it is back-ended, I think we should be compensated either by acceleration in the business momentum or looking at higher license. So our focus is very clear that we still want to continue on a healthy growth momentum. And the subscription switch can happen organically over a period of time. So if most of our business comes in subscription, then the only answer for us is that we will do more business.
Yeah, so that's even better. It's good that if you, then it creates more visibility as well. And just on the margin side of it, because yes, you could compensate with more wins to generate an equivalent revenue. But from a profitability point of view also, there would be, you know, more SG&A involved for more deal per revenue basis. So this 25% margin that we did last year, should that hold as a medium-term objective for us, or you think we could be improving or going down, whatever we do?
I think, you know, we are right now not at our desired levels of top line. So on our desired levels of top line, we said the margin will expand, and I think that we will keep on reinvesting in the business. Right now, the costs are on the lower base. Luckily, also the people movement is lesser in the industry, where we can maintain some costs out there. So we should be, even at a lower number, be able to really close to that margin. But in the natural course of business, I think the margin would expand, but we would be more aggressive in investing that in the market.
Fair enough. That's quite simple. Thank you, and I'll go back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sachin Jain from Prahas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, Sachin, go ahead, please.
Mr. Sachin Jain, please go ahead.
I think you can move to the next question.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, I
am. Yeah. Ajit, congratulations on a good set of numbers. After a long time, it's heartening to see the traction by system integrator channel. And how do you see from here? Do you see a meaningful traction going forward from it? Because after 2-3 years lag, we are now starting seeing some good deal wins, particularly in the major market. So the strategy which you articulated 3-4 years back through this channel looks like it started now giving you the desired results. So how do you see going forward this channel particularly contributing to you then?
So then I think, you know, when we started, and I think we talked a lot about it, and we were slightly over-optimistic about this whole channel, and we did not realize how much effort and time it takes to build it. I think the hard work has happened over the last 4 years. But we clearly realize that at the product level company, we are still at a size where the product sales has been done there. And still we need to manage all the system integrators, their competencies, and collaborate them to win large deals. I think that's what's happening. I would give a large credit to our own sales efforts in the region, and then also our partnership and alliance teams, what they have worked over next last few years to build these alliances stronger. But it is, I would not say that we have reached a, you know, kind of a breakout point where we should expect a lot of leads coming through system integrators. We are still relying on our direct sales efforts and along with partners to go and get those leads. So it is, I am also hopeful like you are, but I would still today rely on that, you know, to be able to organically go and sell more. It will gather momentum surely, but when does that threshold or a breakout happen, it is difficult to predict. But we have excellent relationships in now different markets with different GSIs, and multiple GSIs orders have come in single regions and then across continents and countries. And there are fewer coming every quarter. I think this quarter there are more than few. That's the only difference. And let's hope that the deal momentum continues. But I would not take that data and draw a conclusion. So we are all, I think we can today be hopeful about it.
Understood. And just on second, the way AI is also seen, one is enabling your product, particularly adding a lot of features, you can identify AI and all your adding to your product. But on the other side, how do you see AI as a risk? Can it disrupt the product itself? Just what are the risks you use that, particularly taking AI into account?
Yeah, see, for product companies, any major technology disruption always poses these challenges. It happened at the time of mobility, it happened at the time of when the large SaaS players started coming in or the cloud aggregators came in. So what for us, generally, people who invest in R&D, they are able to convert changes into opportunities. That's a broad, you know, 30,000 feet answer. Now for us, what we have seen with AI, there is a renewed interest in some use cases which are very ideal, like in content management system use cases, the intelligent document processing systems, the records management, governance, how to capture information, how to organize information. The AI is transforming those use cases, so more interest is getting generated in our traditional use cases. So similarly, the product roadmap can become more wider, they can cover larger cases. But at the same time, as you rightly said, there will be diverse competition. Use cases traditionally which we are operating in a way may get disrupted by a newcomer or can get disrupted by deploying AI, customer on his own can deploy AI. So those challenges do it, you know, they exist. We are pretty good in terms of investing upfront in using AI to leverage. And then we get tons of roughly around, you know, 500 customers here across the places and on the top of at least 3 verticals and use cases. We rely on that to drive our next momentum of growth in terms of using AI as a tool and an enabler for us. On the risk side, I don't see, you know, like typically a direct risk, but the risks are typically around where this whole promise and flux is there. So I think that a business, there's a kind of a slowdown of all contemporary cases of decision making. Because people are evaluating, can they deploy AI? And then you are in a different way. Those are really that much of people. So they are good. So those are the things that are happening right now in the market. So we have to go and, you know, win our own battles and take the market forward. So, typically thinking for product companies, all disruptions turn up being advantages. They are able to. But if you don't invest and if you sleep over it and say that we'll keep on doing what we are doing, then you may end up losing the market share.
If you can last 2-3 years, whatever investments you made in AI, but particularly enriching the product from Marvin or VLN, whatever product investment you made from AI-related investments, how clients are perceiving, are there initial, what are initial feedback?
So I think, you know, this is exactly what I think. First of all, for me, it is not a choice. First of all my customer use cases, when I compare as a product company, are driven by AI use cases. Because my competition has done it over the last 3 years, the global companies have done it by that. So customers do perceive that AI is the fundamental for all their use cases. And second, I said that, you know, as part of our funnel, there is a renewed interest in certain areas of AI. Where I have started generating a better funnel, we also converted some major orders from AI, which were typically the early movers in AI. We have Indian regulators coming in, and that is what an AI case. We have Singapore regulators, some central bank cases are with the AI. We are also pursuing a lot of cases in banking on AI right now. So I would see, you know, the investments of last 3 years, 90% of that which is not sustain you as a company, as a product company. Because if you don't do it, then you're out of the game. And 10% provide you an advantage in new use cases and other tactical places you can go.
Understood. Thank you. All the best, Sergi.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Param Vora from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking your question and congratulations for a great set of numbers. So sir, can you describe which industry or geographies are, you know, you are seeing fastest growth in?
So Param, thank you for the question. So we have this, I think this quarter we have done better in US and APAC. And we also include these two also regions into some amount of UK revenue and Australia revenue. And the banking, the vertical, you think banking has been very strong for us. It continues to be the largest part of the business, but the growth has come from government and other verticals. Where I said, you know, the AI-led or the document centric cases are coming up. So growth is more in other verticals rather than banking for this quarter. But overall size of the business, banking and insurance still are the major businesses for us.
Okay, and my follow-up question is regarding the patent. So, with new patent grants, how are you monetizing the patents? Like, are there licensing models in place?
So, the patents are of two things. One is about, you know, developing the culture of innovation and making sure that you are ahead of the market. Second is about protecting yourself in certain key areas. And so, they are not directly monetized. Patents, eventually, those technologies get into your products and over the period of time. And sometimes you have also defend your territory in terms of doing the right thing or you have the first more advantage. We don't have a separate strategy to monetize an individual patent. Between the issuance of a patent or working on that idea to monetizing, sometimes we are able to cycle and sometimes we are late cycle. So we don't have any direct things that the patents will be monetized, but that's the culture of innovation by which we want to make sure that we protect our idea and we also stay ahead.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mihir Manohar from Trust Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving the opportunity. And congratulations on a great set of numbers. Wanted to understand from the US side, US macroeconomic situation is improving. Banking numbers also reporting good numbers, corporate profits also doing well. So can we expect acceleration of growth, particularly for US, for us from here on, and also when we see the order booking numbers that you shared, and also DSI order booking is doing well. So can we see further acceleration of growth, especially in US geography from here on?
So Mihir, thank you for
your
question, and I think yes, we are hopeful. I think with the early moves, we have pivoted around 2 years back into larger cases by working out some smaller accounts. That transition almost walking out is almost complete. Now it's more about growing the business in other markets. What we have achieved so far is we have got the market customers. In terms of we have got the market customers in health, we have got the market customers in insurance and in banking now. Now it's the point of, you know, using these examples to replicate. I'm hopeful, but I would say that we have not reached the threshold that we could predict a number and be very certain about it. But we are very hopeful that the efforts for both of DSI as well as relating to the large accounts should start some results. It showed results last quarter, and very soon in this quarter also we should be able to record some good wins in US. And then we take it from there.
Understood. On the DSI side, sir, let's say you are 1826. How many number of deals have you won from DSI, or let's say on a broad basis, the last 12 months versus let's say the 12 months or 24 months before that? I just to understand some of the other comparisons. Is the DSI manufacturing improving it, or how to understand that?
So this employee, I really don't have the data or anything. But I think, but on the revenue from coming from partners, I clearly know there's a growth in that number compared to last year. But if this is, do you have the number, how many deals can be DSI compared to same time?
Maybe I'll get back to you on that. I don't think there is a significant change in the number. There are some large interesting news that we won. So I think that's
one thing. I think we can come back to the number to
use as the first exact
number.
Sure, sir. Understood. And third question was on the Middle East and India side. India, there was a situation that you were mentioning on the 19th side, BSC mentioned a lot of situation. And so we were trying to make indoor driving NBFCs and other private banks. How to understand the, you know, trade-off here as to whether BSC private banks at a certain point in time will become larger enough for us? For the growth to compensate. And also the Middle East, I mean, as far as I recollect, I think Middle East has the lower growth last quarter was because of Middle East tensions and not because of any certain fundamental reasons per se. So how to understand the reversal for these two particular geographies?
Yeah, so I think let me take India first. So I think India clearly said that, you know, the large momentum in the public sector, there was some saturation. And then we focused on NBFCs and some of the new banks which will end up becoming the largest bank. I think that's going on there. If you see also in India, we have sold roughly around sizable licenses to all these accounts, and we have got a lot of wins in that. What we are missing in India is still the larger deals coming from some of the large accounts which have large license deals which can be realized in that quarter. So we think that momentum will start shifting. We have got entries into the private segment, so more deals are coming from the private segment where we can get the larger licenses. And that should follow up because that market is even wider than the public sector market for us. We should be able to build. So I'm hopeful that in a couple of quarters, Indian banking can come back to growth momentum. India, I think the challenge beyond the turmoil also was our largest growth market has been Saudi. And slightly that was stuck for a couple of quarters for us. I think that has started opening up again. I think it was on account of certain things out there. Now it is starting to open up. I think as the deal momentum Saudi starts picking up, we should be able to. We have opened more markets like Kuwait, Saudi and other markets around that where we have got significant deals. But both these markets are very important. We have a kind of a leadership position in the area of verticals we process. I think sometimes, in preceding quarters and years, we end up being phenomenally well. So we are growing at 40% of license growing. Now to match that growth rate and also to repeat that sometimes becomes a challenge on the license because license is just the end. So we are in that period where we need to settle the base slightly for a quarter or so and then the growth momentum can repeat.
Understood. And last question was on the employee expenses. When I say employee expenses, they are static on a QOQ as well as normal basis. Is there any deferment of wage hikes which has happened or is it largely because of lower employees giving a higher revenue?
Employee costs are three buckets for us. I think one is around overall addition. I think we don't have any addition of employees this year, but I think the last year base cost itself increases the cost this year because last year we had a lot of people. So we have a lot of people in capacity in that form. But on the second of the year, we will keep on expanding. The second is the campus. I think campus is one thing which we rely heavily. We have never, in all these years, for 20 years, 25 years, never declined campus offer. So we have taken all of our campus people this year also. And we have not gone back. And I think we'll be again hiring more people in January and as well as March. And third is the employee wages cost improvement, the salaries. So for us, I think predominantly the wage revision is due in July. This time onwards, it is from 1st of October. We have gone ahead and done the wage revision of roughly around 80% of the people in the organization. And depending on how the further quarters look, we will be looking at how to take care of other people.
Okay, understood. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Langan Sandhya Gupta from SBI Securities Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Sandhya
Gupta.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, sir, you can hear
me. Congratulations, Jeet and your team. A nice result this quarter. I have a question about, I think on last 30th September, there was an announcement that there was some order passed by Qatar Investment Headquarters, where a company needs to make a payment to customers, around $1.4 million, plus some compensation. So is that something sorted out already and the provision for that already done in Q2 or it should be done in Q3?
Yes, Mr. Sanjay, this case is about in Qatar Central Bank. I think some years back we had gold licenses and there were issues in implementation. So the claim from them is about if we don't think any percentage. They have got a judgment in the lower court. We are appealing that, that's the opinion of the lawyer. So appeal is in the higher court. And we are hopeful that we can get better civil judgments in those cases. I think any provisioning can be done only after the final judgment of that case is done. So in the transient, we don't have an option to either provision or part provision or do it. It will hit the contingent liability, which will be reflecting in the books at the same level. So we put the contingent liability in the book. Whatever the judgment finally comes, whether we win the case or we lose the case, at the same quarter, wherever whenever legal recourse is not there anymore available, then we'll be provisioning.
One more question about during Q3 and Q4 of last financial year, there was a, these projects were won, but the implementation was delayed or deferred, and that time you mentioned that most of the revenue for those implementation will be considered in after Q2, probably or Q3 on that. So those implementations are going well, going okay, and then those revenues will be coming in Q3 and Q4.
Yeah, so I think what the challenge we have reflected is that some of the cases which were won, which were large deals, they have not come to the stage where we could take the subsequent revenues, which are about KPS, AMC and support. Now, if you see that the regional KPS, AMC growth this year is substantial. They have not only, you know, recovered on those projects, we have also grown APS and AMC, and I think that is momentum will come. So, a lot of these projects are coming to a stage where they are live with the customer and customer is very mature. We still have not increased support revenue because I think that will take maybe a couple of quarters more to do that. So they are going on. I don't think the challenge we had last year in terms of the what you call downstream revenue lines not kicking in. I think part of that challenge has been solved, but the opportunity now in terms of generating more business, adding more support resources out there, that is still going to be happening in the next 2 quarters.
Okay, that's great. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
So the Indian government is promoting homegrown software companies like Zoho and even Tata Motors signed a deal with Genesis. Are you seeing any uptake or interest in your big pipeline from Indian private customer companies?
I think this is a music here to all sort of companies, and I think we are one of the most prominent globally enterprise software product companies which we play in enterprise too. So far I think unfortunately or fortunately, I think a lot of our Indian enterprise has been dependent on global software. There is clearly an interest and a direction coming in many enterprises about looking at Indian software, but I think we should be very cautious that they want to run their business, they want to get the best software for their enterprise. That is their first priority. So the products and companies which can deliver that. So in that we stand a very good chance. We have credible products which are best in the world, recognized globally, sold in around 70 countries. And so there are no compromises. But clearly if there's an interest in Indian enterprises where they could consider Indian products more favorably, it could give us an advantage over a period of time. But I think between a lot of noise and action on the ground, it takes time. So I do expect that if this trend continues and the direction continues, we have product categories in the area of like enterprise content management, record management, which we implement globally. But India has not ever implemented any record management or enterprise content management strategy. So we can get a huge opportunity in the Indian market. But for that, many things have to be on the ground. So we will be working on this opportunity, we will be making more people more aware about the overall product portfolio we have, and then we want to compete on merit, and also we don't want to only win in India, we want to win globally.
And regarding there is a news about sort of recession in US and maybe slowdown in other geographies, is your developed market deals coming because of that, or do you see there will be acceleration because of that condition, micro condition?
No, I don't think anything. Right now, I think there is an overall, if you look at last 1.5 years, there is a turmoil in decision making. Banking and some services are recovering across the globe. We think that being our primary segment, we should be able to ride on that. Europe is opening up a bit, I think not as much as you want, but it's opening, so some traction is coming up. Australia market is opening for us. It's a very organic process. We are still small, and most of our outcome depends on our own efforts. And though market conditions do play, but we still like to rely on our own efforts to go and drive this.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Did you hear me?
That's all I have to say. Yeah, that's all. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
thank you so much everyone for joining us on the call. For further queries, you can connect with me or you can go to our website. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now